going to read to you from Luke chapter 16. You can keep your Bible open. I won't have you turn all over the place tonight. But this parable, I'm going to just be up front. This is something that I've thought about for a long time. And I've kind of, if you want to use the word argued, I've kind of argued with God about preaching on it because I don't understand everything about it. And I want to read to you a little bit from other sources as well, because it's something that's always been a challenge to me, because I've always seen truths in it that speak to me. Of course, it's God's word. It all should speak to us. Every bit of it should speak to our hearts if we let it. And it's something that I've struggled with. And as we read through it, maybe if it's something that you have as well, I hope, so you'll kind of be on the same page with me. We read the first two verses. Jesus said there was a master that had a steward, and he had been accused of being unjust, the unjust steward. And in verse 2, he said, "How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, that for thou mayest be no longer steward." Then the steward said within himself, "What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed." And this is one of the reasons that it's not my favorite parable. This guy doesn't sound like a good character that I want to learn about. And he's ashamed of what he's done. He's been found out. He's been in trouble. And then verse 4, it says, "I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." And now we're going to read who he's talking about. Verse 5, it says, "So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And the steward said unto him, Take thy bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and write 80. And then verse 8, "And the Lord commendeth the unjust steward, because he had done wisely." And there's where I always get hung up, right there on that verse. Because the rest of the story, you're reading it, and you're reading through, and you're thinking about other parables that Jesus told. And this man is unjust. He gets caught. He gets found out. The very next thing that he does, he runs around without the master's knowledge and starts subtracting from everybody's bill without the master's knowledge. So they're not going to pay as much as they should pay. He's still being sneaky. He's still being slimy. He's still not being, in my mind, he's not being a good steward because he's running all over the place and he's doing something that's outside of his authority. And then after he does all this, the Lord, and again, this is the Lord of the story, not Jesus the Lord, the little L there, the Lord commends him, or that word actually means to applaud him or praise him and pat him on the back and say, good job. And here, real quick, here's why I struggle with this, and maybe you understand it, and I'm sure you can explain it to me when I get done, and I'll have a better understanding. And I know Pastor's in the book of Luke, so in a few months I'll get to hear his perspective on it. But here's a little bit of mine. I don't like the parable just offhand, but without looking deeply at it, because it's difficult for me to understand. You know, I like the easy to understand parables, and I'll think about them in a second. But one thing that encouraged me is sometimes when I struggle, I'll get to like a Bible commentary. I mentioned before, but many have given me a commentary book, one that they've used or one that they recommend. And I like to read what other people say about the same passage, kind of give me a different perspective or some perspective when I don't have one. But for this one, and it seems like this a lot of the times where I struggle with the passage, it seems like the commentators have the same struggle that I do. Like I want to go to them for wisdom, and where I have the issue, they have some of the same one. So one guy said the whole parable is about the danger of the love of money. And I thought, well, that could be true, because in the next few verses it talks about you can't serve God and mammon, and you can't serve two masters. And the first guy said, it's given great perplexity, and many ways have been devised to explain it. The above solution is the most simple. So the first guy says, for sure, this is what it's talking about. And then I said, okay, great. And the second guy said, the theme of the whole parable of the unjust steward is that we ought to deal kindly and generously with our neighbors. The man was saved by his friends. He said, I will go to my friends and they'll bail me out of this situation. And that second guy said, this is the leading object of the parable. Though the parable appears to be harsh and far-fetched, the conclusion makes it evident that the design of Christ was nothing else than what I have stated. The second guy is real sure that his reason is the theme of the parable. We should be kind to our neighbors. And that's good. I'm not sure if I could be that resolute and resolved as he is, that that's the reason. The next guy said something different. He said, this is only exclusive to the nation of Israel. It's talking about Israel because, you know, God had given them this great thing, the promised children of God. He had given them his blessing, and they had squandered it. They had been bad stewards of God's blessing. And of course, that allowed the Apostle Paul and the Gentiles and the gospel to spread around the whole world. But this parable is only talking about the people of Israel. It says it contains a number of difficulties. It has well been said, there are knots in it which perhaps will never be untied until the Lord comes again. I like that part, what he said. He said, I'm pretty sure it's about Israel, but I don't know, and we're just going to have to wait till we get to heaven to figure it out. And then the last one I read, this one I actually, in a last-ditch effort, I Googled it and said, please explain the parable of the unjust steward. And this is what happened. The theme that it said was it shows the generosity of the master. It said the whole parable is not about the unjust steward. It's about the master that he served, because the master was so great that he was forgiving and generous, and the steward knew that his master was so forgiving that he could act in such a way and the master would still applaud and praise him for doing something, making some effort. And then it's that same guy said, the most contradictory and confusing of any parable Jesus told in all of his earthly ministry. And I'd agree with that guy too. It is. So I gave you four different perspectives tonight, but I don't want to avoid something just because it's uncomfortable to me. If that was true, I wouldn't do hardly anything that I do in my life. If we just, if we only did what was comfortable, not much would get done. And I thought about this parable, and there's a reason it's in there, and we can argue about the main point, and we can all say, I'm sure it's this one. But there's an example there for us to look at. It doesn't mean we should be unjust. It doesn't mean we should follow everything that he did. But I'm just telling you why I don't like it. I feel like he's acting kind of, he's scheming. He's being political. He's going to everybody and telling them what they want to hear. And none of it's right. None of it's what they really owe. He's running around as fast as he can before he gets caught, because the master says, you're fired. But he calls everybody else, and everybody else doesn't know he's been fired yet. And he's saying, before you find out that I lost my job, I'm going to make all these changes on your account. I don't like it because it's not simple. And here's what I'd rather teach about, what I'd rather preach about, especially my own kids and in junior church. I like the prodigal son. I can get behind the story of a bad kid, we know he's the bad guy, and a good father that forgives him. I like the story of the master and the talents. When the master passes out the five talents and the servant invests them, and then the master says, you've been faithful in few things, I'll make you ruler over 10 cities. That has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it makes sense. I like that parable. I like the one of the ten virgin brides waiting to meet their husband, and five were wise and five were foolish, and the wise ones get to get married because being married is awesome, and the foolish ones did not get to get married. And that's black and white. There's no shades of gray. There's no difference of opinions. You wouldn't turn to the commentaries and read four different guys say, I'm for sure that it's four different answers. But just because I don't like it doesn't mean we shouldn't talk about it every now and then. I don't like it because it suggests too many maybes. I don't know about you. I don't like the word maybe, because that means maybe it will happen and maybe it won't. But this is what I've read concerning this story, and maybe these could be true. I'll get you thinking a little bit. Maybe the steward, since he was so unjust, maybe this is what I was thinking about, maybe he was so unjust that he was already overcharging all of the debtors. If you think about it in the terms of the story, the master would be like the landlord, and the debtors might be renters. So maybe the steward was in charge of going to collect the rent, and he had been overcharging for so long that when he finally went back just to get the last payment to give to the master, he said, this is actually what you owe me. I know I told you it was 100, it's actually 80. I know I told you it was so many measures, it's actually less than that. And maybe that's the case. It's not there in the text, but maybe. Maybe he knew how much people had. Maybe he said, well, Joe only has 50 measures, and I'm not gonna be, once Joe finds out I'm not the steward anymore, it won't be my responsibility anymore, so I want to get as much as I can get done. I'll get what I know Joe has, and I'll get him to pay the master. And then I know it's not the whole amount, but at least it'll be something. Maybe the steward had a change of heart, and he wanted to make it right as much as he could. But it doesn't say that. It just says this is what he did. It doesn't give us his motivation. Maybe he wanted to make up the difference himself. And this is, again, I turned to others. This is my wife's idea. She said maybe he gets a severance package, and maybe he's going to take the severance package that he has, and he's going to pay the rest of the bill because he didn't want to hurt the debtors, and he didn't want to do any more pain to the master. That's a great maybe, but it's not there. And the last one I put down, maybe he wanted the debtors and the what we call the customers, those renters, the ones that owed, maybe he wanted them to think what a wonderful master they had, because he thought, if I can get them to pay less and be grateful and thankful to the master, maybe the master will be embarrassed to say that he didn't know his employee was acting this way, and he'll be too embarrassed to say, well, you actually still owe me 20 more measures. So maybe out of embarrassment, I can smooth this over. But those are all great guesses, but they're not recorded in the Word of God. It just says what he did and what the outcome was. And so tonight, this sermon, it might be a lot like other ones, but to me, it's like lima beans. When I was a little kid, my mom said, you have to eat these. They're lima beans. And I'd say they taste like, they have the texture of fingernails. Like, you know, like if you bite your fingernail off, and they're scaly and slimy. I don't like them. And she said, I didn't ask you if you like them. I said, you have to eat them. And sometimes in the Bible, there might be a reason that we don't like it. And I'd save the best worst for last. I might not like this parable, and it might be the same for you, because I see areas of my own character in this man. I was there this morning. I had made a mistake, and I was running around as fast as I could to try to fix the mistake before somebody else found out. And I don't know about many of you, but I live a lot of my life that way, saying, I've done it again. I've got to go fix this mess, and let's pray that not everybody hears about it. And maybe I don't like the story because it reminds me too much of myself. I don't know. But God gave it to us, just like those lima beans. God said, you don't have to like it, but I want you to take it, and I want you to learn something from it. God's not the author of confusion. That's scary because somebody told me that tonight and I had it in my notes. But God's not the author of confusion, and he had a reason to give us the truth that's contained here. And I'm not going to say what any of these other guys said. I'm not going to give you all the truth of this passage tonight. But I think there's some truths that we can learn from and learn from this example. If the master, I think it's in verse 8, the Lord, if the Lord commended the unjust steward and he commended his wisdom, and then Jesus said the very next part of verse 8, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Jesus refers back to the man saying, well, I'm gonna make friends of the debtors. I'm gonna resolve what to do when I'm put out of the stewardship. They may receive me into their houses. Jesus refers back and he says, I'm telling you this for a reason. Jesus here does not say that we should do what the unjust steward did. He doesn't say, I want you to go around and cheat a bunch of people and that'll make me happy. Jesus would not say that. He doesn't command us to do what he did, but he says we should seek for the same result. The steward said, I'm not going to go without a home. I'm going to make some kind of preparation for my future. I'm going to use the friendships and the relationships that I've built. We may not like it. We may not like to accept the truth that all of us are in some ways unjust. All of us in some ways, at least the Bible tells us, that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us, there are none righteous, no, not one. And just like that unjust steward said, I'm not going to be able to rely on my good stewardship for my future. I'm going to have to rely on some help from my friends. As Christians, we need to realize that our help does not come from anything inside of us, as we talked about all day. The power within us, it's not our power. It comes from God. Our friend, Jesus, is the one that we need to rely on. We may not like it, but we can still learn from this story. You may not love every teacher that you've had, but you can learn from every teacher. You don't have to like it, but sometimes you learn more from the ones that you don't like than you do from the ones that you do like. You know, sometimes your favorite teachers are the ones that you don't learn very much from. Here's my main points, that this parable might address a struggle that you haven't faced yet. You know, I read this through my life, and I kind of just glazed over it, because maybe it's talking about something that I haven't faced yet. In the previous chapter in Luke, Jesus was talking to tax collectors. And one of the things that tax collectors were well known for infamous for, bad reputation, was for taking too much money for taxes and keeping the extra. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, but he was known for taking too much, and he got under conviction from Jesus. He said, I'm going to pay it back. Maybe Jesus was talking to people that dealt with large amounts of other people's money. I've never had that temptation. When I was in college, the guy would get up and preach about, you know, people would get a secular job in college, and he'd say, you guys came here to go to Bible college, to be pastors and be missionaries, and then you got this job making $35, $40 an hour, and now you're tempted to quit school. And I would think, I'm making $8 an hour. Lord, give me that temptation. You know, give me that $40 an hour job, and let me show you how I'll stand for you. But I've never faced that temptation. So maybe the parable is for something that you haven't experienced yet, and maybe you need to bank it and learn from it. But the steward had to have a good history. This wasn't a job that somebody would just give somebody without him being proved, just like Joseph in Potiphar's house in the Old Testament. He was somebody that had been in the house, that had been observed, and the steward had earned this by his history. He had been right in the past, and he had become unjust and stumbled in sin in running of the household, and it was not a job that was given without having earned it. And this should be a reminder to us. We might have earned a reputation based on something that we've done in the past, but our present actions can still hurt that reputation. It's not just what we've done in the past that affects how our life is lived. And I don't have to explain that to you. If you mess up and stumble in sin, no matter how good of a caretaker of your testimony you've been in the past, it can still harm you. It can do irreparable harm to those that watch you. And we can learn that from the story. He was trusted enough to be the steward in the first place, and then he became unjust, or he was found out to be unjust. Our actions can hurt our testimony. The things that we choose to do can hurt our reputation, our testimony. The steward did make a decision. The unjust steward that the Lord commended made the decision after he was found out to make progress instead of giving up. He could have said, I'm fired. I'm not getting any more money for that guy. I'm getting as far away from here as I can, and that's the last he's going to see of me. I don't know his motivation, but I know what he did. He didn't give up. He did take some responsibility for what he could still do. Maybe, we don't know, maybe he paid it all back. We don't know. It doesn't say. But he wasn't paralyzed by where he had failed. He did take some responsibility. And again, I'm not lifting him up as an example as to follow, but some of the things that he did we can look at and say, you know, if someone that's called unjust would at least go that far, I can do that as well. I can say I'm not going to be paralyzed by the past, and whatever I can do now in this moment, I'm going to do. Even though he was unjust, the Bible says he was unjust, the steward still resolved. He said, I am resolved, verse 4, to do that. When I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. And he was talking about the people that he knew that owed money to the master. He was resolved, even though he was found out, even though the truth about him was known, he said, I'm going to stay close to the master. I'm not going to get far away from the master. Because even though the master is not pleased with me, I still want to be around the people that know the master. I know the master is just, he is right, and I don't want to leave the master. Again, we don't know his motivation, but we can learn from that. He wanted to live with those that were still in debt to the master. He did have a good reputation, and he had useful relationships with all the master's debtors. Again, I skim over the story because I don't like it. So I used to always think, well, he scurried, you know, the master fired him, and then he scurried to the first house, and he's like, Joe, right, change your bill. You only owe $50 now. And then he ran to the next house, but that's not what the Bible says. It says he called to them, and they all came. He still had the reputation of being the steward, of being responsible. He didn't run from house to house. He called them, and they came to him. And again, he used that relationship that he had to try to correct where he had mistake. He tried to do something to get the master's resources back. He called them to him. They showed up. They didn't say, you know, I'm not coming down there. I heard you were fired. No, they showed up, and they said, we're here. What can we do? He used the opportunities that he did have. He couldn't go back. He couldn't fix what he had done in the past, but he used the opportunities that he did have to make the changes that he could make. He couldn't, in many cases, whatever for other reason, he didn't get the full amount, but he got something. He quickly used his experience and knowledge. He said, go quickly. And he used that to improve the master's reputation. The Bible does say that he got the debtors to pay the master back. It doesn't say he took their money, that he reduced their debt. It resulted in him being commended or praised or applauded by the master. The servant knew his only opportunity to change was now. It was too late to undo what was in the past. If he was unjust in the past, the Bible says he was, it was too late to change that. He could not put off improving for some time later. He knew he only had a limited amount of time before the master got the word out that he wasn't the steward anymore. And he said, if I'm going to make any difference for the master, it's going to be right now. It's going to be quickly. And he moved. He did something. He knew that his opportunity was now, not before. And he couldn't change the past, not later. And he had the influence, the resources, and the time that remained. We don't have to be unjust to learn from the unjust steward. I'm not saying everybody here is just. I think the Bible tells us that we are in our own iniquity, our own righteousness is filthy rags. We don't have to be unjust to learn from an unjust person, but we should learn from them. In verse 10 in Luke 16, it says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Verse 11, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, the day-to-day, you know, nitty-gritty, the money, the resources that you have, if you haven't been faithful in that, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And verse 12, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? The Bible tells us over and over and over again, God rewards faithfulness over the little things. I mentioned the parable of the talents. He said, if you're faithful in the few things, I'll give you authority over cities. I'll give you responsibility, influence over big things. Faithful in little things, ruler over many things. We talked about power today in Sunday school. The Bible tells us to keep our lamps trimmed and burning, and God will use us to point many to righteousness, more than we could ask or think. And then the Bible says, invest the talents that you have, and God will make you responsible for more. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, this I say, he which soweth or plants sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Use what you have to its capacity. Use whatever God gives you, and God will increase what you are capable of handling. This guy was maybe the example of what not to do, but God could use that to remind us what we should do with the time that we have left. And Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Simplest way, that you're going to be treated the way that you treat other people. You're going to receive from God what you give to God. God will give you more than you can give to him, but you're going to receive in the same degree as you give. Back in Luke 16, the verse 13 there, the last one we'll read. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. And then look at the next two words. Ye cannot. It doesn't say you shouldn't do this. It's not recommended. Or you'll have a lot of trouble. It just says you cannot serve God and mammon. You're either going to love one or love the other. We're supposed to serve God. The mammon, the resources, the time, the energy that God gives us, it doesn't matter how we feel about it. We're supposed to use it to serve God. Maybe the unjust steward learned his lesson. Maybe he paid his debt. Maybe he got to keep his job. Maybe they all lived happily ever after. That'd be great if it said all that. If it said that, you know, like Zacchaeus, if he made it all right and the master forgave him and he got to become the steward again, it doesn't tell us that. Maybe that happened that way. I don't know. But we might have to untie that knot when we get to heaven. But you don't have to like the truth of it. You just have to learn it anyway. Maybe 2015, this last year, for whatever reason, you feel like it's been an unjust year. You put it in the not fair. Or someone acted poorly to you, or you acted poorly to others. You put it in the unjust year. You say, I can't count that in the good column. Now, that's not true for our church. We've had a great year. But maybe there's been things that happened this year where you just say, I'm not feeling it. I don't want to bank that one. It's not good. Maybe you feel like that steward when the master confronted him, and you thought, oh, what am I going to do? And you just thought, What do I do? And as you start that new year, this new year, what Jesus said for this generation, verse 8, for the children of this world are in their generation, wiser than the children of light. If somebody that's unjust, living for themselves, only in it for themselves, worldly, temporary, if they can figure out that they need to make some kind of adjustment and make some kind of and give and make an adjustment and make right where they've messed up, then how much more for us as Christians to say, you know what, I have a limited amount of time. I have a limited amount of energy and resources. I don't know how long it is till the master comes back and asks me what I've done with his children, his resources, his time. I only have this amount of time right now, just like that guy. I can only do what I can do, but I got to start doing it and take this next year and say, for this generation, for this year, for right now, I can learn from this guy. He's not the best example, but I can learn from him and decide to make progress this year instead of giving up. I'm not going to, I won't be like this guy wasn't giving up when the guy, when the Lord said, you're fired, he did what he could. Take responsibility for what you still can do. Don't be paralyzed by the past failures. Resolve, just like the unjust steward said, I resolve to stay close to the master, even the unjust servant, even he knew that his best option was to stay close to the Lord that had been so good to him, that had taken care of him, and that had treated him well. He said, if I'm going to live with somebody, I'm going to live with somebody that owes the master. I'm going to stay as close as I can. If you're here tonight, you never trusted Christ. He is the only friend you can count on. He's the only one you can count on that can give you peace now and a home in heaven later. None of us, somebody told me this morning, I thought it was really, really good. None of us are making it out of here alive. Unless the rapture happens, we're all going to pass away on this earth, and we need a friend to get us from here to there. None of us get out of this alive, and none are righteous. No, not one. We need a friend. We need you. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Christ, made him your Savior. We can show you from the Word of God, the baby Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas grew up. He died on the cross. He paid for your sins. He rose again. We can show you from the God's Word how you can know that for sure. None are righteous, and we all need salvation. All of us are unjust in some degree. And if you're here tonight as a Christian, hopefully most of us are Christians, realize that that steward was tied to that Lord. The Lord said, no matter what I do with you, if I fire you, if I keep you on in your present condition, their reputation was tied together. That was the unjust steward of the rich man. Those were two reputations that were tied together. As Christians, whether we're a good steward or a bad steward, we still work for the Lord. We still work for the master. We still carry his name and his reputation. The master trusted the unjust steward with his whole house. God trusts us with the time that he's given us. He trusts us with the children, the grandchildren, the people around you that you influence. He's trusted you, whether you're just, whether you deserve it or not. God has chosen to trust you and make you a steward of it, of his resources, of his gospel. He decided that you were worthy to tell other people about him, whether you're good, whether you're just, or whether you're unjust. And his resources have already been entrusted to you, and you're going to be tied to the Lord, whatever choice you make. Do we want to be found as the unjust steward was, wasteful? He said, tell me where my stuff is. And the steward said, I can't tell you, I'm sorry. Are we going to be found wasteful when God says, what'd you do with my children? What'd you do with my time? What'd you do with my energy? Or are we going to be found faithful? Say, you know what? I was unjust in the past. I had a reputation that I took advantage of, and I was unjust, and I need to come back and with all the time I have left, with all the energy that God is going to allow me, as quickly as I can, I'm going to make right what I can make right. I'm not going to get too far from the master. I'm going to make sure that I have a friend that can provide for me and can take care of me. And that's what we need as Christians tonight. That's my challenge to you as we start a new year. Well, I want to be found faithful. I don't want to be found to have wasted what God has given me. How we can learn from the unjust stewards. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for new beginnings and a new year. Thank you, Lord, that even though we all fall short and we all fail, that we can learn from your eternal word, that you put it in there, you had it prepared for us. Whether we get it all, we all untangle it the right way, whether we understand it, you have something prepared for us that you want us to use in our lives here on earth in the time that you've given us. Thank you for this church. Thank you for those that sang tonight, reminded us of how great a Savior, how great a God that we serve.
I pray, Lord, that thank you for your word as it challenges us to study it and to know that you have a plan for our lives, that you want us to be good stewards of what you've given us. Bless this time of invitation as we stand in just a minute to sing. Help those that need to make a decision tonight, make it before they leave this place. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.